Working hard is worth it if you're seeing results. And when it comes to working out, the same thing is true. You want the maximum benefit in the time you have, and that's exactly what Tonal is built for. And with their latest iteration, Tonal 2, you can ensure your workout is more tailored and effective than ever. Tonal's at-home strength training system uses adaptive weight to learn from your movement and set the optimal weight for every move, adjusting in one-pound increments up to 250 pounds, challenging even the most advanced users to push their limits. You can also experience a full body burn with the new Aero HIIT workouts, the perfect blend of heart-pumping cardio and strength. Plus, the new built-in Smart View leverages a high-resolution camera that lets you see yourself during your workout, analyzes your movement, and provides real-time coaching, just like a personal trainer. Right now, Tonal is offering our listeners $200 off your Tonal purchase with promo code 200TONAL. That's Tonal.com and use promo code 200TONAL for $200 off your purchase. That's Tonal.com. Promo code 200TONAL for $200 off.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, Austin? Good afternoon, my octoroon.
What's up, Jay? What's good?
Man. Hey, man, I'm still in jail, but it's all good, though, man. This is the Old School crew. Austin Orman, Jay Foreman. We are brought to you by the Mercado. Certified Piedmontese, special ingredients at Butcher Shop. 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Andre Man, 168th and Maple. Like I say, every type of meat, every type of cut. Austin, this is what we, I guess we could call this the power hour, right? Mm. Right before the Super Bowl. You know, I got a lot of Chiefs fans that obviously are on the text line and obviously tuning in like always. I haven't been able to express my deep hate for the Chiefs fans, but you know, I like them though, but they just kind of funny. And you know what, to be honest with you, if Buffalo was winning, I wouldn't probably be that annoying because obviously I'm not on the team, but I know Buffalo fans would be going crazy too. So, you know, let the Chiefs, you know, bask in their glory, rightfully so. But before we get to the Super Bowl, Austin, The business of the NFL awards, you know, from the MVP, you know, offensive player of the year, all pro and all that stuff. And then obviously, you know, they had the Hall of Fame class. And I think it's you know, we'll start with the Hall of Fame class and then we'll probably end it with the, you know, MVP. The Hall of Fame class is, I think, the smallest since 2015. Essentially, three members of the, you know, I guess modern day, I guess I'm reading here, is within 25 years of retirement. So, guys that you probably obviously, you know, seen play. Obviously, I've seen play, and then some of them I played against and stuff like that. So, it's interesting. You know, Antonio Gates makes it. Eric Allen makes it. Sterling Sharp makes it, right? Mm-hmm. And who's the fourth?
Jared Allen.
That's right. Jared Allen. Yep. A little bit. I think Jared Allen was probably a year too late, but he made it. And I guess the most interesting one was probably Eric Allen. Mm. Right. It's hard to sit up here and say, look, I by no means, you know, should. You know, I'm not discrediting him, you know, by any means, but, you know, I look at, like, it's weird how, like, Eric Allen makes it, but Torrey Holt doesn't make it, right? Reggie Wayne doesn't make it. I would probably say Torrey Holt before Reggie Wayne.
Why would you say that? I'm just curious for your rationale.
Well, Torrey Holt did it in a harder part of the league. He did it before, but then also he was a part of NFL history. Same with Reggie Wayne. I'm not taking anything away from Reggie, I'm talking about the greatest show on turf. Mm-hmm. Who's a part of that?
Torrey
Holt. You know, and Torrey Holt was the ultimate in consistency. And yeah, you could look at stats and all that stuff, but the league drastically changed when, you know, Reggie Wayne and those guys start taking over. So that's why I would put Torrey Holt before it. But at the end of the day, all, and this is not taking anything away from Eric Allen. He was obviously a lockdown corner. Mm-hmm. I think he had over, I'm reading here, he had six interceptions for touchdowns. But I think it's just an odd man out. You know what? And to be honest with you, it's always like that. Because even like the older guys that make it, they're the odd man out. Like, you know, the funny thing about it, I'm thinking like, I think Roger Craig should be in. I think, you know, my dad should be in. I think they should go in together probably next year. That'd be great. It'd be actually a great NFL story nationwide or whatever. But I think the older guys have been passed over in an afterthought for so long that they sometimes stick out, right? When you look at Sterling Sharp, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he was an unstoppable force until he had a neck injury that he had to unfortunately retire from, which he probably, with modern medicine right now, he might be able to still play. And a big thing that hurt him was probably just longevity in stats. Well, then eventually he gets in. Now, it helps that your brother's an iconic media member and all that stuff, but that's what the, you know, you can call it nepotism or what, but you know, Sterling Sharp is worthy, but there's a lot of guys that are worthy that haven't gotten in. And so it's never a fun, probably, process, you know, for the guys that don't get in. And it's probably not as fun as it is for people that get in, because you're just waiting and then you get the knock on the door. So, you know, look, you got to congratulate the class, you know, with Antonio Gates and Jared Allen, Eric Allen, and obviously Sterling Sharp. You know, here's a funny story about Antonio Gates. I'll never forget we were playing him, right? We were about to play him.
Finally, a story about another tight end that's not Dallas Clark. It's about time.
Well, listen, this is actually kind of funny. So, you know, like back then you didn't have, you know, it wasn't like a lot of NFL Network or you didn't see any practices. You just would get like, well, obviously we played San Diego the first game of the year. And, you know, we'd see newspaper clippings. This Antonio Gates, he's killing people. And, you know, he's a former basketball player, killing people in practice. I was like, man, listen, like, I would against Marcus Pollard. I mean, he's good. I mean, how good could this dude be? Right? Like, 6'5", so what? I went against Gonzalez. What? And so then like the tape that we had, I remember it was like not, he didn't do much. And like, it wasn't very good film, like of a preseason game. So I was like, yeah, he's fast, but you know, I really won't be covered. We didn't run a lot of cover two. Cause we felt we had to obviously really hone in on LaDainian. So it was more like a lot of cover 4, 8, 1, three. I'm like, cool. You know, this is all good. You know, this is, you know, all right, if he comes across the middle, you know, I'm going to tighten him up a little bit. Man, he came, broke out the huddle. I said, this brother big.
6'5"? Nah.
Hey, and this funny thing is he could run, though, Austin.
Oh, yeah.
The first time. Yeah. So what happened was I think they tested us a little bit. They shot him up the chute on our safety, Eric Brown. He was like, yo, he's called me the general. He's like, homeboy can run. I was like, I'll get some on him next time. He's like, all right, thanks. Because, like, you know, he ate up his cushion. So I'll never forget, you know, he didn't really do much against us, you know, you know what I'm saying? But then he started going berserk a little bit afterwards. But I remember it was a crucial third down. He came up and I had a good read on the route, right? My coverage wasn't great. I kind of opened my hips up a little bit, but I could usually slip in the back pocket, get a pass breakup, right? Mm. He boxed me out, used junk in the trunk, caught it. And he said something about like his stats or rebounds or something like that. You know, he's like, that's a basketball play. But then after that, man, that dude was a problem. I mean, he was a problem. And he was cold blooded from the very first time he played until he got done playing. And so, you know, you're happy for him. I think I read where his dad just passed away. He had to bury his dad like a week ago. So, you know, I mean, obviously there's a little bit of a low and then obviously ultimate high. And so hopefully he's able to, you know, celebrate it, you know, even with his dad passing away. And then obviously with Jared Allen drafted by the Chiefs. I mean, listen, Jared Allen don't look like much when he was in Euro. He just looked like a dude you see at the bar.
Yeah. Oh yeah, exactly.
Right.
Like find him out like the middle of nowhere, Montana. And hey, there's Jared Allen just hanging out.
You know what Jared Allen looked like? He looked like a dude, like if you had, like on a Saturday, you at Home Depot. He just in there picking up some like 2x4s, going to make something. You know what I'm saying? And he could pass rush, man. Everywhere he went, he could get to the quarterback. Even when he went to Carolina, he could get to the quarterback. And he was an unstoppable force. I know for a fact, when he was at, when he was with the Vikings, he was the truth. And so you're happy for him to get in. He's done a lot of different things after. Does a lot of charity work for veterans. Does a lot of stuff for like former NFL players that, you know, I got battled some injuries and stuff. So he does a, you know, he's a really good down to earth dude. Also a good thing is, you know, he had a little mishap there with, you know, in Kansas City, they kind of jettisoned him, you know, I probably wish they kept him. Hey, he didn't define him, man. So you want to give kudos to guys like that, that are able to bounce back. And then, Eric Allen, you know, look, I'm saying he's probably like the one where you like, okay, you know, where did the votes come from, or, you know what, but you just never know when or how. He was kind of like overshadowed, because you got to think when Buddy Ryan was out in Philly, he was the lockdown corner. Mm. You know, obviously he played with the 49ers and stuff like that, been, you know, very, very successful everywhere he's been. But kind of got overshadowed. But you're glad for a guy like that to get in. That means that, you know, for other guys, like I mentioned, Reggie Wayne, you know, obviously Torrey Holt. The biggest snub for me, which is probably like the Patrick Willis treatment, is Luke Kuechly. Mm. If there's ever a first ballot Hall of Famer, it's him. I mean, to put up the numbers he did and be dominant 8 out of the 8 years he's been in the league, and left it all on the field. You wish he would have got a badge of honor that he, you know, rightfully deserved.
And that's an interesting one, because I think when you look at traditional kind of Hall of Fame voting and stats and whatnot, 8 years doesn't feel like that long. But Jay, I mean, you know what it's like to play 8 years in the NFL. That's not easy. Like, right? That's a long time. That's a significant chunk of your life. So sure, the man didn't play, you know, 12 years or 15 years or whatever it was. But to your point, he played at the top of his game. We never got to see, you know, Luke Kuechly go downhill or take a slide. And that's maybe what some people would have used, you know, had he played another 4 years and the injuries add up and his stats aren't the same. Oh, he really fell off. So we're holding it against him that, you know, maybe he had another good year and a half or two left in the
on your next oil change at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Choose Castrol Edge Full Synthetic Motor Oil to provide maximum performance and protection for your engine. Get a $15 gift card after rebate when you buy 5 quarts of Castrol Edge for $34.95. Plus 2x O Rewards points. Offer valid in-store and online at O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Tank, but he didn't give himself the chance to get hurt and have those discussions about his legacy or his resume, whatever it is. I would have liked to have seen another couple of years out of Luke Kuechly. I can understand maybe on the surface why he didn't get in. And I think there's still enough of those kind of old school, old fashioned voters that vote on this sort of stuff that I'm not surprised he was kept out, but Luke Kuechly needs to be in next year. I was a little surprised by Marshall Yanda. That's another one of those guys who's kind of under the radar. I mean, two-time first team all pro, 5-time second team, 8-time pro bowler, champion, kept his nose pretty clean, all that kind of good stuff. And the other one for me, Jay, is Adam Vinatieri, leading scorer in the history of the NFL. Some really iconic moments, and I get it, he's a kicker, but again, let me repeat, leading scorer in the history of the NFL doesn't get in on his first ballot, and some of the most iconic kicks in the most iconic dynasty of the 2000s right now. I was shocked Vinny didn't get in on his first try.
Yeah, it's definitely a small class, and I still think no matter what, Luke Kuechly should be in, because Terrell Davis got in. and it's nothing against Terrell Davis. He just had his career cut short by injury, except for he won 2 Super Bowls. And so when you think of Adam Vinatieri, I was talking about, you know, when I was down in New Orleans, that was his kick. I mean, obviously it was the tuck rule game before that, but he played 12 years after that.
Yeah.
12.
And went to a franchise with actual morals and values that is upstanding. So they got to cut it in for that too.
It made some big kicks there. Yeah. And, you know, like when you're an iconic player and you make iconic moments and you have the stats to back it up, it doesn't matter what position you play. And especially with him, with the Patriots behind him, you know, with what he's doing, he does a little bit of media stuff, I think, right now. You would have think that he would have got in first ballot because he's a kicker that deserves it to get in there. I definitely still think Luke Kuechly deserves to get in there just because what he shaped that franchise. He got to a Super Bowl. He was unstoppable. And you know, you can't, on one hand, you put Sterling Sharp in because his numbers are byproduct of his injury. But then you got a guy that has the same numbers comparable, like for the, and you're not putting him in. And you have a small class. Nobody would have batted an eye if Luke Kuechly would have been in there and Adam Vinatieri and Marshall Yanda as well. Super Bowl champion was dominant, quietly dominant. And the only bad thing for Marshall Yanda, he went to Iowa.
Right. There is that. So probably best he didn't get in his first try.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. That's the school that keeps second place trophies in their practice facility. So it's interesting. It's just interesting. Then obviously the big snub and the one that had the most media attention was Eli Manning not getting in. I'm probably surprised he didn't get in just based on his last name, his brother. He's doing, you know, he's had two great iconic victories, you know, and two iconic plays in NFL history. He's put up, I think he probably put up good enough numbers to get in. Obviously the last name slides him over, two Super Bowls slides him over, playing for the Giants slides him over. Very, very interesting that he didn't get in considering who's coming next year.
That's true.
Because I think the new rules are you only could put five in the modern, right? So yeah, you got, you know, Phillip Rivers. That's his first year. He doesn't have a Super Bowl, but the stats are first ballot Hall of Famers, you know, worthy. I think Drew Brees is up. So that's, you know, what are you going to put in? Three quarterbacks and some Kuechly other guys.
And Vinny and someone else.
Right. So it's almost like, do you get in a year early or do you get in a year or two too late? Mm. 2 years late. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or somebody will.
Right.
And, you know, I think they're trying to adjust, or they did make some adjustments to the how they vote and all that stuff. I'm big on if it should be, you know, your peers should vote you in, and your peers can't be the media members twisting arms to get you in and campaigning for you all year. It's got to be your peers, and especially it's got to be during your era and your decade, or your era or your decade that you played.
Yeah.
Because the way the game was played in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and early 90s is way, way different than it is right now. The ability to come in, I mean, you got to think Todd Gurley has, I think, almost 10,000 yards. I think, you know, and this is nothing against Todd Gurley. There's some pretty good backs that weren't able to reach that 10,000, you know, mark just based on the circumstances and the way the game was played. And so, you know, the emphasis on, you know, I think everybody, whoever gets in, they always just move the goalposts for whoever it is, but you also got to really, really look at it. You should have more than one senior member every year. Even if you have a separate part of the Hall of Fame. And then you probably need to have a cap at maybe like 8 at a huge year, right? Mm-hmm. If you got a whole bunch of really first, you don't take away first ballot status for the sense of you made a mistake a year too early. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, for sure.
So if you got to put three quarterbacks in next year, put them in and put the other guys in. Don't make the same mistake twice and keep doubling down on it. Until you think the numbers will add up.
That's why it's always so interesting when these discussions come up, because you have to have guidelines in place, right? You do. You can't just let anyone in, but you can't keep the good players out. You shouldn't keep the good players out. And that's where, you know, it's nice for us. We have something to talk about. But whether you're a voter or you're running the Hall of Fame, whatever it is, there's got to be some room for nuance and context come into these discussions. Because some years, maybe there are only three guys that the voters feel are overwhelmingly good enough from the modern era to go in the Hall of Fame, and that's fine. I'm not saying they have to elect five every year, but not electing five in a year like this makes you wonder why. And we don't hear from the vast majority of these Hall of Fame voters, if we hear from them at all, and that's fine. That's their choice. But a year like this where there's so many deserving candidates, it would be nice to know from the people that voted no on Kuechly, that voted no on Wayne and Vinatieri and Yanda and Eli and people like that, just to know, like, what are you seeing? What are you not seeing? Because some years there is going to be a logjam where there's too many good players and you want to put them all in, and then it's just a casualty of, well, sorry, we limited ourselves to only five spots from the modern era. You got to give, you got to take. It's just kind of how the system works when it comes to these Hall of Fame voting things. So I guess I'm more disappointed in the voters for not making more correct choices and not maximizing their Hall of Fame potential in a year that it was all in front of them to do it. Some years you got to be judicious. This year didn't seem like it was one of them.
Yeah, well, listen, it's in New Orleans, and Jahari Evans was a finalist. You know, if you don't know Jahari Evans, he went to Hofstra, I think it was, a small college, and he was a straight-up bulldozer. He's probably he's probably one of the best guards of all time. Mm-hmm. I put his game up, in my opinion, ahead of Steve Hutchinson, and Steve Hutchinson got in. Oh, yeah, Jahari Evans was the real deal. Steve Smith didn't make it. Fred Taylor didn't make it.
Right.
T Sizzle Suggs didn't make it. And then here's probably the biggest snub. Darren Woodson, who redefined the big safety position, blitzing, safety moving down the linebacker. And then obviously Willie Anderson, who's the offensive tackle for the Bengals. If you talk to people that played, I played against him, and you talk to defensive linemen, they say he was essentially, they call him the shadow. Because you ain't going nowhere, and he was a right tackle that moved like a left tackle, extremely strong. But again, he played on some pretty light Bengals teams. But ultimately, there's 11 guys that didn't get in, and three that did.
Yeah,
so it went down to 14. You took three from the modern day and one from the senior division. I'm 100% lock and step with you. I think they missed the boat here. I think they missed the opportunity that you could have put Jahari in as much as you put Eric Allen in, or both together. And you could have definitely knocked it out of the park with Adam Vinatieri, Luke Kuechly. You could have went off the wall with a Fred Taylor who quiet as kept. He was a problem. I can tell you this right now. I lost more sleep playing against Fred Taylor, or potential going against Fred Taylor, than Marshall Faulk or Edgerrin James. Because Fred Taylor, I'm gonna tell you this before we go to break. He was the type of dude, like, I first of all, I'm talking junk to everybody, period, right off the rip. That's because I'm not gonna leave a chance that we're not gonna be on level 10. So I'm just getting the party started right from the get go because I'm getting in the game. So you gotta think, I played in our division was Eddie George, Edgerrin James, Fred Taylor. Those are the three I faced, you know, six times a year. Didn't lose. I mean, what I mean by lose sleep was it didn't have any fear. And I hate saying it because I think Eddie George is a Hall of Fame. What I mean by this, Fred Taylor, one misstep, one second guess, he's the fastest dude on the field at 230 pounds.
Woo.
And he can run with power. He had great vision. They had a great offensive line. And once he got going and he got confidence, he's a problem. Fortunately for us, we never let him get off because if you go back to some of his games, he didn't just get 100 yards. He's talking about 220, 230 and 60, 70 yard runs. And he was pretty, pretty dang consistent and was the only guy that they had at times, you know, especially when they started getting rid of some of their really good players on the outside. So, you know, there's a lot of guys that got overlooked. Hopefully everybody gets in, including my dad and Roger Craig and all the other people that should be getting in and should have been in the past. But more importantly, you want to tip the hat to the four guys that get in and celebrate them. And then after the celebration's over, we can worry about the guys that didn't get in to the long term. So we're going to take a quick break, come back. We're going to give our Super Bowl picks. I know who I'm picking. Eagles, period.
E-L-G-S-E-S.
Hey,
they
by
got
Shea
Sean Barkley. They got Shea Sean Barkley, Jay.
Hey, Shea Sean got to do his thing. Anyways, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Old School with DP and Jay. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.